worthy is yet another battle. So I thought of my own situation, and I thought I would probably be best to use that as an example of the point I wanted to make today. The scripture readings remind us of the gifts that we all have, the talents, the knowledge, the demeanor. Everything about us is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. And throughout our lives, we're constantly confronted with circumstances where we're asked to do things, and not always in our comfort zone. I can attest to the fact that a lot of my old railroad and Navy buddies would find it quite humorous that I'm here on a Sunday morning. So we don't always operate where we're most comfortable. And I thought about examples of that. And what better place to look with any conflict in life than the Bible? Who's asking? Here's a familiar story. I probably don't have to introduce it. It might be the first biblical story we ever learn as young children, David and Goliath. We get into qualifications. Our first answer every time we're ever asked anything, and our easiest out as a human: I'm not qualified. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Let's think of David. He confronts Goliath on the battlefield. And the story is told very eloquently in the book of Samuel. Takes us through it step by step. Basically, the Philistine giant Goliath is not only mocking the Israelite army, but mocking the God that we all believe in. And David takes exception to that. But is he at all qualified to be on the battlefield with Goliath? Goliath is not only a physical giant, but Samuel tells us that his entire life he's been a warrior, trained in military actions. He has armor, he has weapons. Well, enter David, who goes to the battlefield that day simply to supply his brothers with some supplies, some food and some rations. Winds up enraged at the mocking attitude of the Philistine giant and confronts him on the battlefield. Confronts him in a shepherd's smock, sandals, and a sling. He has absolutely no knowledge of military actions, no knowledge of weaponry or weapons. In fact, when he's given a suit of armor and a sword, he discards them because they're too cumbersome and in his way.
But he was very proficient with that sling. He's been practicing all his life. He had to protect his sheep from the wild animals. He was very, very good with that sling.
And in David's own words, Caesar, thank you. In David's words, his sling is guided by the hand of God, and he believes that with all his heart. The point being that David, we all know how the story ends. David is triumphant, and he becomes not only a leader of his people, but begins a lineage that pretty much fosters the rest of the Christian world. Had he said, "I'm not qualified, I can't be here, I can't do this," who knows where we are today? Here's another character. And I have to tell you, it was very difficult to find a picture of Moses that wasn't Charlton Heston. Yes, there was a time when Hollywood actually promoted Christian goals. Moses, again, a story we're all familiar with, has chosen to lead his people out of bondage. And he's probably the most reluctant recruit you could possibly have. He feels he's grossly inadequate for the role. And Moses has the advantage of knowing that he's talking to God through the burning bush. He's so insecure and so unsure of his qualifications for this role that he actually gets into an argument with God. Not something I'd advocate. Here's some of the phrases from that discussion related to us through Exodus. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What if they don't believe me," speaking of his own people, "or listen to me and say The Lord didn't really appear to you. I am slow of speech and tongue, trying to make the point that he's no leader. He can't communicate. And probably the crown jewel of his opposition. Oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Doesn't sound like a man who's strong in his convictions or believing that he should be there. Clearly, he's out of his comfort zone. Let's bring it up to the New Testament. How about these characters? We know them well. The 12 of them are chosen by Jesus to promote God's word, Jesus' story, and basically establish our whole Christian church. So they certainly must be knowledgeable scholars or philosophers, qualified in every way to do that kind of work. Let's take a look. Peter, wow, that must be a mistake. He's just a fisherman. Judas, a treasurer. James the Great, another fisherman. Jude, a farmer. Andrew, another fisherman. Simon, simply described as a missionary, which tells me our great research sites probably couldn't come up with a real career. He was a missionary after the fact. I don't quite know what he may have done before Jesus' time. Bartholomew, also listed as just a missionary. John, another fisherman. Matthew, the famed tax collector. Thomas, a prophet. Philip, a cleric. And maybe the only honest answer to the research sites, James, who they decide profession unknown. But in any event, there's no way that these 12 felt that they were qualified for the role that God was to give them. They would not only tell the world of Jesus' story, they would take God's word to every corner of the world and at tremendous sacrifice to themselves establish the Christian church. Once again, when they were called on, if they followed their own desires, their own interpretations, and said, I can't do this, I'm not qualified. For all the sacrifice they would make, they only had one commandment to follow. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's not much to go on, to change your whole life, to step into a role that you have no qualifications for, and to follow this man for a purpose that you don't even understand. So when we think of qualifications, folks, and what we're asked to do, who's the judge of our qualifications? The scripture readings we had today talk about the many gifts we're given through God by the Holy Spirit. What we do, what we know, what we can do are all gifts from God. So who's the better judge of what our talents are? Ourselves? Or the person who gave them to us? The famous radio talk show host used to lead his show every day, kind of tongue-in-cheek and maybe half-bragging, but he would always make the statement that what he did was talent on loan from God. Well, I don't think there could be a truer statement. All the talents we have are on loan from God. So when we try to assess being asked something and trying to determine what we should do, wouldn't it be fair to let God make that decision, what we're capable of? That the person who gave us our talents, who gave us our gifts, is the best judge of that. So when we're asked to pursue any goal, to pursue any objective, let's focus less on what we think our qualifications are. There's another side to me being here this morning. And that goes to the title of our service today. If I was a little more technically adept, I would get to the first one easily enough. But who's asking? Who's really asking? All my life, I've felt that there's a certain presence in every house of worship. I grew up in the Russian Orthodox faith. Vicki and I were married in the Methodist church. When my dad was wasting away from cancer in a New York City VA hospital, I would often stop at night in a nearly deserted St. Patrick's Cathedral. And here I am, a Presbyterian. It doesn't matter to me, the faith, the denomination. Anytime I ever stepped in to a house of worship, there's a certain presence, a certain aura that I feel. Now, you can make the argument that a lot of it's man-made, the architecture, the decorations, and there's some truth to that. We create an atmosphere. But it's much more than that. It's a presence that I feel. And it's why I dress the way I do, I guess. I don't wear a tie out of comfort. And I certainly don't wear a tie because I'm some kind of fashionista. My sense of fashion went with my hairline 20 years ago. But I see myself as being a guest in God's house, and it means that to me. And I know that God could care less how we're dressed when we come before him. It's a personal choice. But with that, when I'm asked by a church, by a person of God, there's a little more to that question than just addressing something on Vicky's to-do list. There's a doubt in my mind. We see through the Bible that God asks people in every walk of life to come forward, to rise to the challenge, to do things they might not be comfortable doing, because he knows what he needs, and he knows the role they could fill. When I'm asked by the church, that's the nagging little doubt in my mind. Who's really asking me? Now, I can say with a fair degree of certainty, let's just say 99.9%, that when Pastor Al asked me to be here this morning, it was simply a vacationing pastor asking me to fill an empty spot on the schedule. But let's just say that little 0.1% is something else. Maybe somebody is speaking through God, asking me to do something that he thinks I could do. I don't know if I'm right on that. I don't know if I'll ever know the answer to that. I don't even know if it's my place to know that answer. But when I'm asked, I always think of that. Who's really asking? I don't know what's ahead for this world, and I don't know how far off the second coming may be. But if anybody ever feels the need to write a sequel to the Bible, I don't want to be the name in those pages that said no to God. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts that you've given us, for the talents, for the knowledge, for the ability to work with people, for the tasks that we're able to accomplish in this world. And we know that they all come from you through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask that when you have a need for us, let us rise to the challenge. Let us be not who we think we should be, but let's act in the role that you have laid out for us. For we know that every path we're on, every road we take, is by your choosing, that it's been scripted and preordained long before we took our first breath. give us the faith in your word and the confidence to cast out our human doubts and follow your lead and rise to the challenge and answer the call. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.